The procrastination research fraud story at Data Colada is the kind of story that generates heat on 8chan precisely, because it sits at the intersection of several things the community cares about simultaneously. Research integrity, the replication crisis, psychology's credibility as a science, and the specific vulnerability of behavioral economics to motivated manipulation. Data Colada is the blog run by Yuri Simonson, Joe Simmons, and Leif Nelson, three researchers who have built a reputation for forensic data analysis and have previously identified fraud in multiple high-profile studies.
The study they're examining this time is described as influential in the procrastination literature, the kind of paper that gets cited in popular books, cited in policy discussions, and cited in corporate productivity research. The specific allegation, based on the Data Colada post, involves data irregularities consistent with fabrication. Distributions that are too clean, response patterns that don't match what random human behavior looks like, and metadata inconsistencies. The researchers are careful about what they claim. They're reporting what the data shows, not making accusations about intent.
The 8chan thread has 178 comments, and it's one of the more substantive discussions I've seen on research fraud. Several commenters with academic backgrounds are discussing the structural incentives that create fraud risk in behavioral research specifically. The small sample sizes that make fabrication harder to detect statistically, the prestige pressure on researchers to produce novel findings, and the lack of mandatory data sharing that would allow third-party verification. The Data Colada team exists because the incentive structures of academic publishing don't create adequate internal checking.
The procrastination angle is almost incidental to the bigger story, which is about what happens to public understanding of psychology when the most cited, most accessible findings turn out to be unreliable. Behavioral economics has had extraordinary influence on public policy, nudge theory, choice architecture, decision fatigue, and a significant fraction of that influence rests on a foundation of studies that were conducted with sample sizes and methodologies that are now recognized as inadequate.
The Playaphone Project at Playaphone.com is a tonal shift but an earned one. Burning Man has historically been a no-connectivity zone by design, by culture, and by practical infrastructure limits. Playaphone is apparently a phone system built for the Burning Man environment, creating a voice communication network that works within the event's constraints. It has 651 points and 212 comments, which makes it the day's highest scoring story. And the comments are a mix of people who have used it at the event and people fascinated by the technical architecture of building temporary telecommunications infrastructure for a city of 70,000 people that exists for 1 week.
The reverse engineering of the ADHD test is another community favorite. 234 points, 142 comments. The author reverse engineered the technical implementation of an online ADHD screening tool and found that the assessment was considerably less sophisticated than its presentation implied. The 8chan thread is predictably rich. People with ADHD discussing the inadequacy of screening tools in general, developers analyzing the specific technical implementation, and a broader conversation about the gap between how digital health tools present themselves and what they actually do.
The Lion Man Wikipedia article, surfacing with 120 points, is one of those 8chan phenomena where a piece of existing, publicly available content gets discovered or rediscovered and generates genuine intellectual discussion. The Lion Man is a 40,000-year-old ivory sculpture from southwestern Germany, the oldest known figurative sculpture in the world, depicting a human figure with a lion's head. The 8chan comments are exploring what the artifact implies about the cognitive capabilities of its makers. The ability to imagine and represent a being that doesn't exist requires a specific kind of symbolic thinking that's considered a marker of modern human cognition.
And the Borges Labyrinth in Venice reopening is a fitting companion piece, a contemporary physical labyrinth on a Venetian island, inspired by Jorge Luis Borges's concept of infinite, self-referential libraries and mazes. The 8chan thread is small but thoughtful, mostly about Borges's intellectual legacy and the specific phenomenology of being physically inside a labyrinthine structure versus reading about one.
Now, Marcus, I want to spend the second half of this segment doing something we should do more often, which is seriously interrogating the thing we seem most confident about today. And I think the RKGI benchmark story is the right target.
Go ahead, make the case for skepticism.
The confident claim circulating in the AI community is essentially this. RKGI 1 has been solved, or is close enough to solved, that it no longer measures the thing it was designed to measure. The implication is that AI systems are demonstrating genuine fluid intelligence. The 4-4 sense for 4-4% story feeds that narrative. If you can score nearly half the benchmark cheaply, the argument goes, the benchmark floor has collapsed.
But you think there's a problem with that framing?
I think there are two assumptions baked into that narrative that deserve pressure. The first is that high scores on RKGI 1 mean the underlying capability is general. That a system scoring 85% on the benchmark would perform similarly on novel reasoning tasks that weren't in the test distribution. Collett's original design was specifically aimed at preventing test set memorization. But any fixed benchmark becomes susceptible to indirect overfitting through training on correlated data. If the models that score highly were trained on data that correlates with ARC task structure in ways we haven't fully characterized, then the scores measure something, but not necessarily fluid intelligence.
The counterargument I'd make is that Collett and the ARC Prize Committee have been aware of this risk and have taken steps to address it. The evaluation set has been kept private. There are procedural controls around test exposure. The O3 system's performance was examined specifically for signs of memorization, and the evidence didn't support that explanation.
That's fair, and I'm not saying the scores are fraudulent. My concern is more epistemological. The second assumption is that fluid intelligence, as operationalized by RKGI 1, corresponds to the full range of cognitive capabilities we care about for real-world AI deployment. The benchmark tests specific pattern abstraction from sparse examples, which is a real and important cognitive skill. But it doesn't test sustained reasoning over long contexts, real-world embodied understanding, or the kind of social and causal reasoning that underlies most of the hard problems people actually want AI to solve.
So the claim we should watch for being wrong about is, RKGI 1 scores above 50% mean AI has crossed a meaningful threshold toward general intelligence.
Exactly. If we're wrong, here's what to watch for. You'd expect high-scoring models to also excel at genuinely novel tasks that share the abstract reasoning requirements of RKGI 1, but come from entirely different domains. Legal reasoning from first principles, scientific hypothesis generation, engineering design under novel constraints. If models with 80% plus ARC scores consistently fail at those transfer tasks, that's strong evidence the benchmark is measuring something narrower than the discourse suggests. The signal to watch is cross-domain transfer performance, not benchmark scores in isolation.
That's a disciplined frame. I'll add one more. Watch for whether RKGI 2, which Collett has been developing, maintains the same score gap between compute-expensive and compute-cheap approaches. The 44-cent score is interesting partly because it suggests the benchmark may have systematic patterns exploitable by efficient search. If RKGI 2 is genuinely resistant to that, the floor should drop back dramatically, which would tell us the 44% result was more about benchmark structure than about AI capability.